To welcome everybody here to this service this morning. It's a beautiful day that the Lord has given unto us, and we should rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. Because you're here today, if you're still having any form of sorrow, any form of confusion, whatever it is that's in your heart, because you're in God's presence, that will be replaced with joy and joy everlasting indeed in Jesus' name. Because the Lord is opening the door that you need, even in this day, as you have come to meet him that opens doors that no man can shut, that shuts doors that no man can open, you will experience divine help from the heavenlies indeed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we celebrate Father's Day. Now, as most countries around the world celebrate Father's Day today, I don't know if you know the origin of Father's Day. This much I'll tell you. Father's Day is not something that is entrenched or originated, as it were, as a church tradition, but somehow it is something that the story behind it is a story of recognition. Now, Father's Day was started by a lady in celebrating a man who raised her up. Now, this lady is called Sonara Smart Dodd. In 1909, while she was at service with her father in a church, they were celebrating Mother's Day, and somehow it struck her that her father, who raised her and her five siblings alone, for her mother died when she was given birth to her fifth brother. So she was 16 when her father died, and when her mother died. So for her father, he actually raised her and her five brothers. So here at the service, while they were celebrating mothers, it struck her that, wait a minute, my father was one that raised me and my brothers all single-handed. And she felt there's a need equally for us to celebrate the fathers who are often ignored. In her heart, she chose that on her father's birthday, which was June the 5th, she would celebrate her father. But somehow, logistics didn't let that happen. And she celebrated, brought it up on the 19th of June to celebrate her father and fathers in 1909. Now, this whole concept gained traction around America at that time. Now, in the celebration, committees, I was made to understand, were formed in Virginia, in New York, in 1921 and 1936, in celebrating this. Now, a president called President Woodrow Wilson, who happens to be an Augustan, he is from Augusta, right, sanctioned the whole celebration of Father's Day in 1913. And, you know, it took a while before it took traction in America. Now, sometime in 1957, a U.S. senator called Margaret Chase Smith from Maine introduced a bill to create Father's Day. And she said something. She made a proclamation. And this is a quotation I want to read. She said, "Either we honor both parents, that is, mother and father, or let us desist from honoring either one. But to single out just one out of the two parents and omit the other is the most grievous insult imaginable." That was in 1957. Incidentally, that was a woman that brought up this whole idea. In 1966, President Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, kind of brought up the whole idea that the third Sunday in June should become Father's Day. It took another 6 years when President Nixon in 1972 made it a permanent national observance on that day. So President Nixon was the one that hammered it down in 1972 and saying that we will observe Father's Day in America. Now, it's not only in America this is done. It's done in many other countries on this very day called Father's Day. Thank God for those who recognize the importance of their fathers and choose to celebrate their fathers and make time to celebrate the fathers. Now, one thing is this. Fathers, unlike mothers, are not articulate enough when it comes to expressing the feeling of love to their child. A father doesn't become a child if a child is not involved, all right? But fathers do not know how to articulate it properly. They will love greatly, but rarely are they able to express their love to their child. So while a mother could say to the child, "I love you, you're the best thing that ever happened to me," and probably hug the child and kiss the child on the head, fathers will probably stretch out their hands with a handshake. And once in a while, when the father decides to, you know, touch the face of the child, the hand could be a little bit heavy. And while the mother kisses the forehead of the child, the father can kiss the forehead with a knuckle. Old school fathers, I mean. But today, things are changing. Fathers are getting better at expressing their love to their child, even through words. Now, today we celebrate fathers, and there's no other way that we can express our love towards a father that does not know how to say "I love you" to the child by acting it out, because that's the only way they will understand the whole idea of love. I can count personally the number of times my father said "I love you" to me with one hand, but he expressed his love through the things that he did, through the things that he allowed me to do, in all various ways. Today, we celebrate our fathers still. It's our turn to thank them for what they have done. They deserve a big thank you for the way they express their own love. And I believe that as many who are fathers in here, your intention over your children shall not be cut off in Jesus' name. The resources that you need to raise those children up in a godly way, God will supply unto you in the name of Jesus. Come on, say amen. Amen. I know there are a few fathers in the house, but the mothers, please support them in saying amen. 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 I'd like to turn your Bibles with me, if you may, to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. John, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We're talking about the fathers today, but I just want to use this as a backdrop before we go ahead and celebrate the father some more. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 is a very popular scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." For him to give his only begotten son, that makes him a father. "That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, verse 17, many people overlook verse 17. But it went on to say, "For God did not send the gift of his son into the world to condemn the world. Rather, that through him, the world might" what? "Be saved." At Sunday school this morning, we're talking about how Jesus went about doing good. The outlook of the Father and of the Son was, "We are going to save the world and nothing more." Now, from these two lines of scripture, there are three things I want to share with you. Probably if you've seen it before, great. If you've never seen it before, probably you'll see it today. About the character of God the Father and what it stands for. Probably for us who are fathers, potential fathers, we may have it in us already. We may need to refine it. But either way, this is from the godly perspective what you should see, or what you see in God the Father. God loved the world. He loved his son, and he gives his son as a solution to a problem. So number one thing that a father thinks about is that he wants his child to be greater than him. What did I say? He wants his child to be greater than him. Every father will want his child to be greater than he is. Hence, in the child being greater than him, he will help the child to discover his potential, put the child through whatever means of education to develop that greatness that lies within him or her, and help the child to maximize its potential wherever it's required. The reason why parents focus on their child's education today is because they want that child to be greater than they are. And God demonstrated his love for his son through the things that his son did. Of course, Jesus went through some educational process here on earth, but the Father knew what he was doing. Even as much as the Father wants his son or his child to be greater than him, number two thing that every father has within him for his child is every father believes in his child. What did I say? Every father believes in his child. If you don't believe in your child, you better begin to believe in that child. But every father believes in his child. When God sent his son into the world, from the perspective of the world was wretched and dying. But from the outlook of the Father, the world he loved can be saved. And that's why he released his son to go into the world to become something of a savior. Now, what does this mean to us as fathers? Train up your child. It's not just being able to make more money than you make, but it's for your child to be a solution to a problem in the world. If you do not have this at the back of your mind, that you want your child to be a solution to a particular problem in the world, then you don't understand the whole idea of fatherhood. If your thought only is that your child is your 401k, in other words, your retirement benefit, that is all you're thinking about that child, you've just killed your own child. But when your thought is like, this child is going out there to be a solution to a problem, as your son, your daughter begins to solve problem in the world, there's no way your own problem would not be solved equally. Does God have an issue today? Is he lacking anything? What has the son done concerning relationship with the world? He has been a bridge between the world and the Father. So as his son came to the world to solve a problem, he won more sons and daughter to himself. That today we can praise God as much as we can praise him. Even though he used to praise God has been checked out of heaven, but he gained more sons and daughters. That means as your child goes to solve a problem out there, you will gain unto yourself more things than you could ever think or imagine. So number one thing is every father wants his child to be greater than him. Number two, every father should believe in his child. And number three, the father demonstrates his love for his child by always wanting his child to measure up to something. Always wanting the child to measure up to something. And this is demonstrated even in our everyday talk. I would tell my son, do you want to be like Obama? Or do you want to be like whatever those guys that sing the song? I don't even know what they're talking about. For him, I want to choose that, but I'm measuring up to something that is greater. Showing your child who is great, that you can do this and do even more. Every responsible father will want his child to measure up to something great in their life. So that's why we encourage the children to do better. My father had a very strange way of encouraging me to be better. Here I am, I have my GCE London, 5 credits. And I felt cool on top of the world. And the man encouraged me by saying, your mates are in university, go and carry your book. I'm looking like, what's the matter with this guy? I thought I passed my exam. The guy said, no, your mates are in university. No, they're not. But in his own side, they were. So pushing me to go higher, measuring something greater. That's what every father does. So even as the Heavenly Father believed in the world and gave His Son as a gift to the world, fathers here, we are giving our children to the world as a gift to save the world and not to condemn the world. We show our children the possibilities of greatness, not the impossibilities. We don't tell our children that the world is a hateful place, be careful. But rather we tell them you can do it. You can be an overcomer. When you try, try again. The mothers can pet and pat the child on the back, but the father doesn't pet and pushing out to do what needs to be done. My father wanted to train me to be independent at the age 16. He decided to move me out of his own house and put me somewhere else all by myself with 380 kobo in my pocket per week, which was just enough to eat. And I'm looking at him, I'm just a child. He said, no, you're old enough. And my mother is crying, hey, you've killed me, my son. I said, let him go and live by himself. Then he will know what life is all about. But today I thank God for what my father did, because I had to learn how to cook by myself. I learned how to live by myself. I learned to be independent. In his own eyes, he wanted to train his child to become something. In the eyes of mom, which is normal, said, let me just pet my child and do what I have to do. Both of them are doing their own job, but fathers are willing to be risk takers. They're willing to do whatever it takes to make greatness come out of that child. Fathers, you have a job to do. And God has given you that grace and that resource to do it. And you will accomplish it indeed in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I close, I want to remind you of a story of a man who God said, through the son, the whole nation of the world shall be blessed. And as the child grew, God sent an email, an SMS to him and said, hey, I want you to sacrifice thy son. He said, you mean that other one? He said, no. This one, who you love much, unto me. I often ask the question, when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to him, do you think he told Sarah? You think he told Sarah? If he had told Sarah, what would have happened? It's him that will go and meet God. He will drop Abraham in an instant and say, you are even too old. Go and meet God. He chose not to say anything to Sarah. He went ahead to do what God asked him to do. Now, the significance of that sacrifice is the risk that fathers sometimes take for the greatness in their child. There are things that sometimes you do, you don't need to tell madam about it, simply because you want the best in your child. You will take that risk. Take it. By the end of the day, Isaac became very great. Your children, fathers in the house, they will be great indeed in Jesus' name. You have one, but they will have many that will come with blessings unto them in the name of Jesus. Abraham just had Isaac. That was all. Although he had other children, but Isaac was the one that was attached to him. But through Isaac, great things happened to the point that he was even greater than his father. Your sons and your daughters will be greater than you indeed in the name of Jesus. So therefore, fathers, I congratulate you and I salute your courage. Let me end with this in Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 5. This is a message to every father and every potential father in the house. Psalm 127 from verse 1 to 5. The Bible reads, except the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain that build it. Your building of your children, of your home shall not be in vain, fathers, in the name of Jesus. Amen. He said, except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Fathers are protectors. As you attempt to protect your children from unnecessary evil, the Lord will watch with you in Jesus' name. He said, in vain you rise up early to sit up late, eat the bread of sorrow, for he gives his beloved sweet. Let me say to you, fathers that are laboring concerning your children, your labor shall not be in vain. Amen. I guarantee you, as long as God is there with you, when it's time for you to sleep, you will sleep soundly indeed in Jesus' name. I've come to say to you, your days of sleepless nights has come to an end. Your time to wake up to rejoicing over your children has been battered for you indeed in Jesus' name. The Bible went on to say in verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Verse 4 now says, as the arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. God is saying, verse 5, happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. So they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. What is God saying here to you? Through your child, that child, you may have children, but for each child that you have, God will bless them to the point that you will be a proud father indeed in Jesus' name. I'm saying the days will come, and I'm still saying those days are coming, when our children begin to graduate, even in this land of the living, they will hear. And what do I mean they will hear? We're going in our gab, the big agbada thing, and when they call the name of the child, I'm not talking about high school graduation, that's good, but I'm talking about college graduation, that when we stand up and arise and pull that thing up, all about three people that way, three people this way, don't see what's going on in front. And then our wives will put on those satellite dish that they will say, madam, do you mind if you move down a little bit? Say, no, my child is graduating. And what am I talking about? We're talking about joy and rejoicing indeed in the name of Jesus. So happy is that man. My brothers, be happy. Rejoice in the fact that today you are not just an ordinary man, you are a father. Because of those children who God has given unto you, you have responsibilities. But God has given you the resources to succeed in that responsibility. Remember, always trust and believe and focus that my child must be greater than me in every way. Tell the child, I tell my children, you better be 100 times better than me. I didn't say 99. It's not good enough for me. 100 times better than me. And they will be better than me indeed. And you also in Jesus' name. Amen. Believe in them. Don't kill the talent. Believe in them. Even if they're going the wrong way, show them the right way. Don't let them use their talent for the negative things that will bring them sorrow. But help them, channel them in the right direction that they will be great. Believe in that child. Don't lose hope. And he will be great indeed in the name of Jesus. And because you're a father, always demonstrate the love that you need to that child. Let him know, let her know that you love her. You love him. In any way that the child will recognize that love, and God will help us indeed in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Especially